Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. 50 years ago, on a cold April morning, Catherine Switzer stood on the starting line of the Boston Marathon. She was the only woman in the field and the first woman to run the race with an official bib. Here's how a TV announcer described it that day.
A record field of 601 starters braved chilly winds and a steady drizzle in the 71st Boston Marathon. The world's most famous foot race even attracts a leggy lady, Kay Switzer of Syracuse. Officials tried to jostle her off the road.
Catherine Switzer's run has become a big part of the story of women participating in the marathon and gender equity in sports in general. We recently sat down with Switzer to hear more of her reflections from that day.
My entering the Boston Marathon in 1967 was a reward from my coach, Arnie Briggs. He didn't believe a woman could run no matter what. But he said if I would prove to him in practice that I could do it, he'd take me to the Boston Marathon. So I trained mightily with him, and one day we ran 26 miles, and then I said, let's run another five to make sure we can do it. We ran 31 miles, and he was so impressed after he passed out. He was so impressed that women had inherent potential in endurance and stamina, and he helped me sign up for the event. I thought we could just go and jump into the race. He said, no. You have to fill out the entry form. You have to follow the rules. And I said, but maybe it's a men's only event. And he said, no, it's not. There's nothing here that says that it's for men only, and there's nothing on the entry form about gender. So I said, well, then how come women aren't running? And he said, because they don't believe they can. They're afraid to run. And I said, okay. So we fill out the entry form together. I paid my $2 entry fee, but I signed the form KV Switzer with my initials. I began using my initials because my dad had misspelled Catherine on my birth certificate, and I spent my whole life with it being misspelled. And so by signing KV Switzer, it solved the problem of misspelling my name. And when the form went in, they obviously thought it was from a man, and they issued me numbers. They thought that I was trying to fool them, and I wasn't, and I was trying to follow the rules. So what happened is we woke up that morning with snow on the ground and the headwind sleet and freezing cold. It was about 34, 35 degrees. So everybody in the race looked alike. We had pulled everything out of our suitcases and drawers that we had with us and put them on. And so from a distance, I looked like just one of the guys. The men on the race welcomed me. They thought it was great. And off I went. And it was marvelous for the first mile. And then suddenly, the press truck passed us. They were taking pictures of us and going crazy seeing a woman in the race wearing bib numbers. This had never happened before. And for a while, we thought that this was really great news, and we were waving at them when all of a sudden, behind me, I heard fast-moving footsteps turn to see a ferocious face screaming, get the hell out of my race and give me those numbers. It was the race director, furious that a woman was in his race wearing a bib. And he grabbed me, and he threw me back, and he tried to pull off my bib numbers. My coach screamed, leave her alone. She's okay. I've trained her. My boyfriend, who was an ex-All-American football player, threw a shoulder charge into the official and sent him out of the race instead. So at that moment, I was so embarrassed and so terrified and so upset, I kind of didn't know what to do. I thought, should I quit? And then I thought, no, I can't quit, because if I do that, nobody will believe women can run. Nobody will believe we deserve to be here. And I turned to my coach and I said, now I have to finish this race on my hands and my knees if I have to, because I have to prove that women deserve to be here and can do the distance. And he said, okay, let's just slow it down and get it all together. By mile two, my boyfriend, who had hit the official, turned to me in great anger and said I was getting him in all kinds of trouble and he was never going to make the Olympic team because of me, and I ran too slow anyway. And I remember how embarrassed I felt that we were having a boyfriend-girlfriend argument in the middle of the Boston Marathon. So there were three of us, my coach, myself, and a guy from our cross-country team. And we went into the most incredible trough, which often happens after you have an experience like that shocks and raises your adrenaline. When the adrenaline goes, then you feel so tired, you feel like you can barely move. And for the next, I would say, 6 miles, we were kind of in this trough and then slowly emerged. The next memory was my boyfriend walking up in front of us, and he didn't know we were coming up behind him. And I caught him up, and he pretended like he hadn't been walking. And he said, oh, walk with me. And I said, no, I'm sorry. As slow as I go, I have momentum. Then the next memory, of course, is climbing through the hills. And when we got up Heartbreak Hill, and then down the other side, I turned to my coach. I said, when is Heartbreak coming? And he said, you just went over Heartbreak. And I said, I did. I didn't even realize it. And he said, only you would not realize that we just ran over Heartbreak Hill. I had massive blisters in my arches and between my toes, and I was beginning to bleed through my shoes. But I just refused to even accept this. I had to put it out of my mind. And we were just holding on, and we were absolutely frozen. It was just miserable. And then all of a sudden, we were coming along Commonwealth and heading to Hereford Street. I was very afraid, and my coach was, that maybe a policeman was going to try to pull us from the race before the finish when nobody was looking. And in fact, the official had gone ahead and told the cops to pull us, and they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't get involved, which is great. And we made a right on Hereford. We turned left on Boylston, and there was the finish. And we were not exactly overjoyed, but we were tremendously relieved. We'd done it. We'd never walked. We completed the whole thing. The three of us were together. I try to forget bad things and remember good things. So I will forget the man who walked out in the street and shouted at me, go home to your husband and make him dinner. But I will always remember the woman who fell down on her knees at the roadside and said, come on, honey, do it for all of us.
The man who grabbed Switzer was Jock Semple, the race director for the Boston Marathon at the time. The iconic photo of Semple trying to grab Switzer and knock her off the course is believed to have transformed women's distance running.
Semple never really apologized by saying, I'm sorry. But in 1973, he came to me on the start line and planted a big kiss on my cheek. And in his wonderful Scottish brogue said, come on, lass, let's get a wee bit of notoriety, and turned me around to a bank of television cameras. That was his way of saying he was sorry. We became very good friends, because how could you not love somebody who changed your life and gave you so much, so positive, even out of a negative? And how could you not love somebody who gave the world one of the most galvanizing photos in women's rights history?
Saying she wants to continue to be part of that history, Switzer is running the marathon again this year. She says the race still is an important symbol.
The Boston Marathon, in a funny way, is a microcosm of society. It's changed so completely in 50 years. Let's go from a man trying to throw me out of the race to seeing almost 50-50 runners, men and women. They're not running to be elite. They're not running to lose 5 pounds. They're running because they're empowered. They're running because their lives have been changed so positively by the sense of accomplishment and self-esteem that they have gained from running. And this translates into all areas of their lives. Running is a force wholly for good, and it is a joyful, wonderful, almost gender-free experience. We're out there as runners together. It is, in a way, the ideal of the way the world should be.
That's Catherine Switzer. She's the first woman to officially run the Boston Marathon, and she's running the course today. She is now 70 years old. At this moment, Catherine Switzer is still running. She just turned onto Beacon Street in Chestnut Hill. She's running with 125 people today. They're all raising money for her foundation, 261 Fearless. It's named after the number on the bib that Jock Semple tried to tear off of her during her first Boston run. The foundation promotes women's running around the world.